As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and man, it is good to finally be back with you guys today. And when I say finally be back, I mean I've been gone. I've been down and out for a little bit. I am finally back from the land of the living dead. I'll just tell you guys right now, I came down with COVID-19, and that virus is no joke. Hands down, it kicked my butt. My family got it. Thank God my kids rebounded very quickly, like they say kids do. It's not a big deal for kids. But my wife and I, we were down and out for going on 3 weeks. And there was times that it was a little bit scary, actually, with some of just the feeling of not being able to catch my breath and just feeling like I wasn't getting enough oxygen and I was just gasping and just got winded really easy doing mundane tasks, easy things like bending over to put my pants on or take a shower and having these what felt like attacks where I just wasn't able to get enough air. So for any of the doubters out there, let me just verify with you that COVID is real and it is one hell of a flu. Now, I've been outspoken about the lockdowns and that I think that, like our commander in chief has said time and time again, that the cure can't be worse than the illness. And I don't think destroying our economy and destroying people's livelihoods is the answer. But as I speak with some experience now, because I've actually lived through it, yes, I'm officially now one of the 99.9% of people that contract COVID and end up living. So I feel like I can speak more informed about it and maybe not be accused of being a hypocrite because I know what I'm talking about. Yes, it's a horrible flu. It's the worst flu I have ever had in my life. I think my wife would say the same thing. It got us both pretty much at the same time. And the symptoms were quick and severe. And like I said, it knocked us out for almost 3 weeks. Even now that I'm out of quarantine and I'm over it, I still have times where I feel like I'm not able to get enough air. In fact, wearing the masks, now that I've had COVID, I feel like breathing through a mask is much more difficult for me. It's just harder for me to get the amount of air that I feel like I need, and I get a little bit panicky even. I know it's bad, and I can see how this illness can greatly affect people that have compromised immune systems, any type of respiratory issues whatsoever, and the elderly population. I can see how this illness is very dangerous and why it's been deadly to people that fit into that category. And I can completely understand people that fit into that category, why it's important for them to take extra precautions. But again, I am one of the 99.9% that have lived it, and I'm recovering, and I think I'll recover just fine, as will my family. And I don't think there's any precautions that we've taken in this country whether it's the social distancing, the lockdowns, the mask wearing, the destroying of people's livelihoods, the keeping kids out of schools, keeping kids from playing sports. I don't think any of that can prevent you from getting COVID-19. I think if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. I think you're just the unlucky stud that drew the short straw. And I think that you'll probably get it. I think eventually almost all of us will get it. We know that the masks don't prevent it. We know that the virus particles are so tiny that your cloth mask isn't doing squat to protect you. Yeah, it might prevent some of the bigger pieces of spit and sputum and stuff that come flying out of your mouth. But the virus itself, it's an aerosol. So it's going everywhere. And I feel like if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And there's not a lot you can do to prevent yourself. Yes, take the extra precautions with, you know, washing your hands, use hand sanitizer, try to be, you know, respectful of people that are around you and cover your mouth if you're going to cough, things like that. But I strongly believe that the masks are giving society a false sense of security. And I think the masks are promoting greater opportunity for illness by making people feel like they're protected. And the other type of illnesses that the mask can cause from having all that bacteria, it's like a petri dish in your face, and breathing in all that hot air, that moist hot air of that petri dish that is not sanitary. It's, in most cases, they're not at N95 protection level. And we know that it's causing other types of respiratory illnesses like Legionnaire's disease and other illnesses that might not get detected, or when they're detected, it's written down as a COVID-like symptom. And so you fall under that category of having COVID when maybe you did not have COVID at all. Maybe it was something else caused by wearing this muzzle that the society says we have to put over our faces now before we can dare show ourselves in the public arena. So, yes, take precautions. Use common sense. But don't buy everything that they're telling you about these masks. This is just a way that they can control us. And they're testing us right now. They're seeing how much they can get away with. In fact, the World Health Organization just this week, they actually have done a complete reverse course on how contagious COVID is and saying that you can't get it anymore from other patients that are positive, and that the social distancing isn't necessary. The masks aren't necessary. Now, the U.S. and the CDC, they have not come out and said that yet. But remember, this all started from recommendations from the World Health Organization. And now their doctors and scientists are saying that all these precautions we've been taking, these steps we've been taking, shutting down the world, shutting down the world's economy, it's just not necessary. And it hasn't done anything to help quell the disease. And the ironic thing is, you know, we're closer and closer to Joe Biden being sworn in as the next fraudulent president of the United States. And as we get more near to that day, you start to see places like New York and Chicago and these people that have fought everything that Donald Trump has done with COVID-19 and gone against him and anything he says, they have immediately rebuked it. But now they're mimicking what he's been saying for months. In fact, New York, they just said, hey, the cure can't be worse than the disease. We need to start opening up our city. We're dying economically. Our city's dying. Chicago's doing the same thing. The ugliest mayor in the world, Lightfoot, she is saying now that they need to get restaurants and bars opened back up because the economy is suffering so bad, and they just don't feel like that did anything to help spread or slow the spread or flatten the curve of this COVID-19. And so again, we're getting close to having a Democrat president, and all of a sudden what Donald Trump's been saying, what the right's been saying, all of a sudden the Democrats are starting to say the same type of stuff. We need to get the economy rolling. We need to open up restaurants. COVID's not as deadly or as dangerous as we initially thought. And yes, we're not slowing the spreading. And it's like they don't remember that 2 weeks ago they were mocking our president for saying similar things. And it shows the hypocrisy. Many of us thought that after this election that COVID would go away. And it really does look like that as soon as we get Biden sworn into office, for whatever good that means, because we know that he's about the biggest liar that would ever have the opportunity to put his hand on that Bible. But after he's sworn in, after he takes his oath, I think you're going to see all these Democrat cities start opening up, and they're just going to stop talking about it. And that doesn't mean that COVID just magically went away. It just means that what they've been doing has been more political, and their motives have been to destroy the economy and thereby destroy the Trump administration and do everything they can to get rid of President Trump. And in a lot of ways, as much as I hate to even talk about it, they've been successful in their mission and they've accomplished what they've wanted to do. And what's interesting now is to see how ruthless these people are. The left are, I've been telling you guys the last year how incredibly nasty and vile these people are. And watching them go for the throat, go for that juggler, it's just, I don't know where they harbor or how it's even possible to harbor so much hatred for one man. But the answer is, it's fear. The reality is, they are scared to death of President Trump. They are scared to death of his administration. And the bigger picture on that, you guys, and you got to pat yourselves on the back, they're scared to death of you and me. They're scared to death of the Patriots. They know that we're wise to their ways now. They know that we've had enough. They know that there's a movement that's rising and that we, the people, are powerful, and they are doing everything they can. They are scrambling right now to try to do away with Trump before this gets so big and so out of their control that there's nothing they can do to stop it. But it's already too late for them. The cat is out of the bag. And what's been set in motion, it's already happening. And yes, maybe this election didn't go how we hoped. Maybe on Inauguration Day, we're going to be sitting there saying, how did this happen? But the movement is still alive. And the things that Donald Trump has taught us and how he has revived patriotism in this country, that's not going to go away on January 20th. That's not going to go away on January 20th. And that is what the left is so terrified about. They know that in 2 years that there's going to be seats challenged, and they know that we're coming, and we're coming strong. And we're not just coming after the Democrats, my friends. We're coming after the Republicans too. If you're like me, you are done. You are sick and tired of the rhinos, the corruption, and the lying in our own party. And the way they turned their back on this president, the way they cut and ran the second it got a little bit tough, after they used him to get elected, they used him to keep their power. And as soon as they didn't need him anymore, as soon as they saw an opportunity to break away from him and his movement, they threw him under the bus. They are in my crosshairs. And I mean that in a peaceful way, my friends. They are in my crosshairs for the next election. We are going to primary those traitors, those cowards. We are going to primary them, and we are going to get them out of there. Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, Lindsey Graham. Yeah, I'm coming after Lindsey Graham, too. I'm tired of him getting on Fox News and talking a big game and never doing anything at the end of the day to protect our president. And Mitch McConnell, you are enjoying your last term in office, my friend. You best make the most of it. You best get all your ducks in a row and clean up all your little messes, because I think your constituents are coming after you too. The way you guys threw our president under the bus will not be forgotten. Stick with me, friends. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless host, Mickey Garris, and I was just talking about how good it is to be back in the studio and starting to get caught up on stuff anymore. I had to take a little bit of time off. I explained I came down with the dreaded COVID-19, and that is real, and it kicked my arse. It's bad. You know what's interesting about COVID-19, as I talk to other people that have been inflicted with it, it's just really interesting how it affects everybody a little bit differently. There's so many different symptoms that it causes. And yeah, there's people that get it that are asymptomatic or possibly have some minor irritations, but they never really get sick. And then there's people like me and my wife that there was times that I thought I was going to die. I mean, it was just horrible. Now, I never had to go and be admitted into the hospital. I went to the respiratory clinic, and I went to an outpatient treatment center to get an infusion, which is an experimental procedure, non-FDA approved, and basically they set you up with some IVs, and they were just, the way they explained it to me, just loading my body with antibodies. And just it was just to help this flu run its course faster and give my body what it needs to fight it off as fast as possible. So the funny thing about that, now that it's all said and done, I'm not a huge anti-vaxxer, but I do believe that we all should be allowed to make our own choices for what's right for you and your family. I don't think the government should ever mandate vaccines for anybody. I think that's a slippery slope. I think it's dangerous. And over the years, although we know there's been plenty of good things that have come out because of vaccines, like, let's say, eradicating polio, there's still a lot of things we've recently learned about vaccines that have shown us they're not as healthy for everybody as maybe we would like to believe, or we were originally told that vaccines are possibly responsible for other illnesses that society's been dealing with, whether it's SIDS or autism or, you name it, all kinds of different things that they're kind of pointing the fingers saying that there's more kids that are getting these illnesses now because of what the vaccines have in them. And so I think we need to look at each vaccine on a case-by-case situation, but they really thoroughly have to be studied. And I think good things can happen because of vaccines. We know that's true. But we also should always be skeptical about what the government's wanting to inject into our bodies, right? And so the COVID vaccine, you know, when you have a 99% chance that you're going to live from COVID, I haven't really seen why they've been pushing this vaccine so hard and why they claim it's so necessary. Again, if you're in one of that percentage of the population that has some type of other ailment, you have respiratory issues, you're older, you can weigh out the pros and the cons of the vaccine And the vaccine might be the right choice for you. I'm not trying to deter you from getting the vaccine. But I don't think that a mandatory vaccine is, again, ever a good idea. And I just don't see the urgency for the entire population to have to get this COVID-19 vaccine. Not for something that typically is just like a flu that runs its course, and 99% of the people that get it are going to be just fine. So that's kind of where I have been. And then because they rushed the COVID vaccine so quickly and it hasn't gone through all the testing that your traditional vaccines would go through, I've been a little bit skeptical about it. And we've seen some really weird side effects that have happened from some people that have got the COVID vaccine. Granted, it's a small percentage of people that have adverse side effects from the vaccine. They probably have adverse side effects from any vaccine they might get. It doesn't necessarily mean it's happening because it's this COVID vaccine. But again, the research behind the vaccine, it was kind of non-existent or just rushed through so quickly. I've been skeptical of it. So now I come down with COVID, right? And I'm sick as I've ever been. And I'm feeling like I'm going to die at times. And they tell me I've got to go in for this treatment to get this infusion. And I'm just all over it. If it will make me feel better, I'm rushing down there. And they ask my name and that's it. They don't look at my ID. I don't even recall signing anything. And they hook me up to these IVs and they start pumping this stuff through. And as they're doing it, I'm trying to pick the, you know, brain of the nurses that are administering this drug, and they don't know a lot about it. They don't know how it works. They don't know what's in it. They don't know anything. And then I find out that it's a non-FDA approved procedure. So going back to the vaccine, you could at least say that the COVID vaccine is FDA approved. I'm down there sick as a dog, incoherent, and I'm sitting there for 3 hours doing this infusion, getting my body pumped full of this experimental drug that I didn't even sign off on as being okay to put in my body. And the nurses can't tell me much about it. They don't know much about it. And I just had to kind of chuckle. It just goes to show what people will do when they get in a situation where they feel like crap. And at that moment in time, whether that drug was FDA approved and even what it was being pumped into my body was not my concern. It was just, what do I have to do? Oh, there's a chance that this might make me feel better. There's a 1 in 1 million chance that I might be able to breathe normal. Okay, hook me up. I'm all about it. And, you know, maybe that just shows how weak of a person I am. But I think it shows a good example of mentally just people in general, what they go through when they're put in these situations, and maybe they're not thinking clearly, or they're just so miserable, they're willing to try and do anything to feel better. So I don't know if this infusion was worse than the vaccine or not. I can't even say that the infusion helped me. They thought that if I was going to get better, I'd get better right away. And that wasn't the case. I remained sick for about a week afterwards still. I didn't see any benefit from that infusion, but I have no idea what was in it. And I'm still alive, and I'm not barking like a dog or chasing cars or anything yet, or scratching in funny places. But that was my experience with COVID and what I went through. So think about that. If you guys get sick and they try to push funny stuff on you, ask a lot of questions and just try to stay clear-minded enough that you're not going to fall into the trap and end up taking something that you potentially might kick yourself for later on in life. Hey, stick with us. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be back in the studio talking to you guys today, my fellow patriots. Because I've been out sick, I haven't had a chance to even talk to you guys since we had that horrible, horrible, horrible attack on our nation's capital. And I just kind of want to get some feedback on what you guys are feeling about what took place. To me, it's mind-boggling, the hypocrisy, number one. Not just the hypocrisy of the left, but the hypocrisy of the right, too. Again, we talked a little bit about Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and a lot of the Republicans that have bailed on our president because of what happened at the Capitol. But the thing is, if you are going to try to pin that on the president, you weren't paying attention at all on that day. And I know you guys have heard now the timeline, and I know his speech has been replayed over and over again, but still, it's not, I don't see it in mainstream media enough. Now, that doesn't surprise me. It shouldn't surprise anybody. They are trying to destroy this president, and they're going to do anything and everything they can to destroy him. But he clearly did not tell anybody to march on the Capitol. He clearly is not guilty of any of the things that they claimed he was guilty of and that they actually impeached him for or started the impeachment process. He said, we are going to march. He said, let's be peaceful. Let's make our voices heard. But he did not instruct anybody to commit any of the illegal activities that took place in our Capitol on that day. And in fact, when those attacks started, his speech wasn't even complete. It wasn't even finished. He was still talking for another 20 minutes. After he finished talking, and people were planning on marching down that direction, they had a 45-minute walk. So the majority and the worst part of these attacks that took place was well before President Trump and the majority of his supporters even could have been down or gotten down to that Capitol. So timeline-wise, it just doesn't make sense. If you listen to his speech, it 100%, 100% doesn't make sense that they are blaming him for any of this. Now, does he get people riled up? Yeah. Are his supporters excited and eager? And do they want to help him? Absolutely. Is there bad people that claim they support President Trump or do support President Trump, but they're extremist and they're kind of a stain on the rest of the movement? Absolutely. Just as there are in any types of these different groups, organizations, or movements. But, you know, when I hear that all Trump supporters are responsible and they're blaming what happened, what some of these people did at the Capitol, they're putting us all into that same group. And a lot of the Republicans are actually doing that. To me, it's no different than saying, you know, when a police officer does something wrong, when everybody jumps on that bandwagon that all cops are bad, that all cops are responsible, that all cops are guilty of racism. You can't blame every single cop because of the actions of one bad cop. And you definitely should not blame every single Trump supporter because of the actions of a handful of bad people that are out there committing crimes and doing bad things in Donald Trump's name. And it's not even Donald Trump's fault. And clearly on that day, he did nothing to promote or encourage that kind of behavior. In fact, if you look back the last 4 years, never in any of his speeches has he ever called for anything like that. So it's just really frustrating how quickly Republicans decided to throw him under the bus and how quickly people in our nation, you know, people that have supported him that I've been friends with, and I've talked to them recently and they say, I just don't know how you can support that now. That was definitely his fault. Are you kidding me? Are you flipping kidding me? How was that his fault? Like I said, he did absolutely nothing to encourage that kind of behavior. And as soon as he realized what was going on, he condemned that behavior. It's just, we cannot be so weak that the second things look like they're getting a little bit tough, we're ready to throw the towel in and we're ready to give up on this man that has given us this gift this last 4 years and restored patriotism back into this country. We cannot be willing to abandon him that quickly, or we will never get good leadership. Who's going to want to lead us? Who's going to want to fight the fights that Donald Trump has fought? Who's going to want to stand the ground that he has stand? Who's going to want to give up everything the way he has given it up for we the people if we are going to turn our back on him in a heartbeat as soon as somebody turns the heat up a little bit? It's completely unacceptable. And I have a couple different thoughts about what really happened at the Capitol anyway. And what I'm about ready to say isn't going to be popular to some of you guys, because there is people that will sit there and tell you that violence is never the answer. And I will tell you that we are not here today having this conversation if that were the case. The whole reason this republic exists is because some patriots decided that enough was enough and they drew a line. And guess what? They had to resort to some level of violence. They had to resort to, what's the topic word right now, the big key word that's been thrown around? Insurrection. Insurrection against the crown. Insurrection against Britain. Insurrection against the biggest, the strongest military on this planet at the time. And a handful of subjects had enough. The Tea Party. That was the beginnings. That was the beginning of our revolution. What founded this republic. And if we were as weak back then as we are today, we never would exist. So for all you people that are saying violence is never the answer, you know what? Sometimes violence is the only answer, and sometimes violence is righteous. Now, I don't know if what took place at the Capitol was the right time for any of that. I don't think it was. But I think we need to be careful and we need to be realist. We need to understand what's on the horizon. And we need to also understand that if we're not willing at some point, when our freedoms are being stripped away, when our liberty is threatened, when this republic is dying on a vine because of tyranny, at some point, patriots need to be willing to be violent and fight for this republic. And if we're not willing to do that, we for sure are going to have communism. We for sure are going to continue with this corruption and tyranny, and we will lose all of our freedoms. And so that's what scared me this last couple weeks, is how people are running from this. Like we could never fathom this happening. We should never, ever tolerate it happening. Let me remind you, my friends, we do have a democratic process. If we don't like things, we do have a process that's laid out to be able to change them. And let me tell you something. That's exactly what we did on November 3rd when we went to the polls. When we voted, that was the process. That is how we make our voices heard. That is how we change things. And we should be guaranteed a free and fair election. We should be guaranteed a free and fair election. That is the only way this republic lives. But what do you do when there's corruption in that process? What do you do when your elections aren't free of corruption? When they're not fair? When there's fraud? And what do you do when the very people that you are supposed to be there to protect us, to protect our Constitution, to uphold the rule of law, whether it's the United States Supreme Court, or whether it's the Department of Justice and the Attorney General, whether it's the FBI, or whether it's the elected officials that we have put into office to uphold our laws, when they turn their back on the Constitution, when they turn their back on the laws and they let this corruption and tyranny reign the day, when they refuse to guarantee the American people a free and fair election, what are we to do? You see, this last 2 weeks, all I've heard is people storming the Capitol is bad. We should never resort to that. We should never resort to violence like that. There is a process. We need to trust the process. I'm sorry, the process is broken. We did the process. It didn't work. And the people that were there to protect the process did not protect the process. What do you want Americans to do? That's the problem. What do you expect? You were surprised people stormed the Capitol? They just had their election stolen and nobody wants to help them. Nobody wants to even hear about it. And now you're surprised they're upset and angry and some of them are resorting to violence? Are you fools? There's a point where violence is all we have left. We've lived the process. The process is broken. Think about that. Don't turn this dial, friends. We'll be right back here. We got lots to cover on Patriot Uprising Radio.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Nikki Garris, and it's good to be here with you today on this Saturday afternoon with so much happening. The Saturday before the inauguration. It's been a hard month. Last segment, I was getting pretty fired up. I'm really fed up with the rhinos or any cowardly Republicans. I don't see a pathway in the Republican Party that I can support anymore. There's a handful of excellent representatives, Ted Cruz, Jim Jordan. There's a handful of these guys that are patriots that are going to stand for the citizens of the United States. But the majority of the party are swamp creatures. And I just, moving forward, I'm going to have a real hard time supporting anything with the Republican Party. And I think a lot of you guys feel that way. The question is, do we have an alternative? Is there some sliver of hope of a third party? If there was ever a time for it, I think over this next couple years, we have set ourselves up perfectly for kind of this do or die scenario. Make it or break it. And I think President Trump could take this movement, this MAGA movement that he has started, and this energy that he brings, and the patriotism spirit that he has brought back into this country. And I think if there is anybody that could successfully start a third party, I think Trump is the guy that could do it. I don't know if it's the right time. I don't know if it would be successful, but I don't think there's a better time in our history. I don't think there's a stronger leader to finish that movement than President Donald Trump. You see, because he does have the majority of the Republican support, and he also has the independents, and he has the constitutionalists. And he has so many of those Democrats that have switched over because they just could not support that party any longer and the corruption and the evil tactics that they do. See, Trump did win this election, and he won it by a landslide. And we know that's true. We know there's fraud that took place. If the FBI doesn't want to say anything about it, fine. If the Supreme Court doesn't want to say anything about it, that's fine. If the elected cowards in Washington, D.C. don't want to investigate it, that's fine. But we, the people, we know the truth. Will we ever let it happen again? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think we're going to put up with that ever again. We're angry. And I think we're going to be angry in 2 years. And I think we're going to be angry in 4 years. And I think we're going to turn out to vote. And I think done the right way, this MAGA movement is going to continue to explode and grow. And the reason I think that is Donald Trump is not any less popular today than he was a month ago. His popularity has exploded this last 4 years. The minority vote, the black vote, the Democrats that are jumping ship. Donald Trump's movement is growing. He's more popular today than he was yesterday. And you know what? These impeachments, he needs to wear these impeachments like a badge of honor. And I'll tell you why. Because you have a man that did the impossible. He went up against the swamp, an outsider that had no business, no rights, according to them, ever getting into politics, won the presidency of the United States and challenged them all. He fought against the most corrupt Congress this country has ever witnessed. He did it alone. And he did battle after battle for 4 years, and he was winning. And that's why they're so terrified of him. That's why they're so terrified of him. And you've got this movement that he has started, and it has just grown. And like I said, his popularity today is bigger than it was yesterday. And people know how corrupt D.C. is now. They know how corrupt Congress is. They know how corrupt the Senate is. They know how corrupt the Democrats are. And they know how corrupt the Republicans are. And you got this man that has restored patriotism, that has put America first policies, that has listened and fought for we the people against all that corruption. And those people, guilty of tyranny and corruption, guilty of destroying this republic, are coming after him with everything. Come at him with two impeachments. He needs to wear those and be proud of them. Because who is arguably one of our greatest presidents that we've ever had in this country? Maybe the best president since Abraham Lincoln that we have ever had in this country. Fought the biggest corruption in Washington, D.C. the last 4 years. And they come at him with these bogus charges, bogus impeachments. I'm proud that the most corrupt Congress in our nation's history impeached not once, but two times, one of our greatest presidents that we've ever had. That is a badge of honor, and he needs to be proud of that. Because if they embrace him, what does that tell us? That he's part of the swamp. And he is definitely, definitely not part of the swamp. The swamp hates him. And he's not done, my friends. And like I said, if there was ever a time for a third party, he would be the right guy to spearhead that charge. And I think he could get it done. What's going to happen over this next 4 years under a Biden-Harris administration? I don't even know that Biden will last a year before they remove him. But whatever happens, their policies are going to continue to hurt people. It's going to continue to cripple the economy. It's going to make people suffer. And they're going to usher in these socialist policies, these communist policies. And people are going to wake up and they are going to realize that they've made, if they supported Biden, if they voted for him, if they support the Democrat Party, some people are going to wake up and realize that they have made a terrible, terrible mistake. And over this next 4 years, as things continue to get worse, you're going to see more and more people fleeing that Democrat Party, coming over to the MAGA movement, and we're just going to continue to grow. And in 4 years, we are either going to elect Donald Trump as the president again, or we're going to elect the person that Donald Trump is campaigning for. I don't know what President Trump is going to do in 4 years. I don't think anybody knows what he's going to do in 4 years. But I think he could successfully lead a third party. And I think if he wants to be the president in 4 years, I think he'd win. And I think Americans would not tolerate any funny business with our elections. I hope and I pray that we never, ever will allow that to happen again. It's a shame that it ever happened in the first place. And I still have hopes and I'm still praying that heads will roll because of this. And there's a lot of funny things going on in D.C. right now, friends. I'm trying to stay clear of any of the conspiracies, but there is more troops in Washington, D.C. right now than they have in Iraq and Afghanistan combined ever. Washington, D.C. is arguably the most secure city in the nation on any given day, no matter what. And now they have all these troops there. What is going on? We've got military movement from coast to coast. We've got military bases and airports that have movement like we have never seen before. I think there is something big going on. The military seems like they're mobilizing for some reason. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of rumors. Then you have people that, like General Michael Flynn, that just the last week have come out and said, there's big things happening. Donald Trump will continue to be your president. I'm sitting there and I'm hearing this stuff and it's just unbelievable. But then I question, why would a guy with the reputation like General Flynn say this crazy stuff? Say this stuff that are just conspiracy theories. Why would he be out there preaching this stuff? Why would he put his reputation on the line and make these outrageous claims? It doesn't make any sense. And it's not just him. There's so many people that have amazing reputations that are making these ginormous claims. And I just don't know why they would put their reputation on the line if what they were saying didn't have some type of truth to it. I don't know what's going to play out. I don't know what's going to happen. Is there some smoking gun that has not been revealed yet? We know that President Trump is releasing a lot of these top secret documents and he's going to expose the left for what they've done to him and the illegal activities they've done. Keep him in your prayers, my friends. Pray for this nation. Be vigilant, be prepared. We've got a rocky road ahead of us. And we need to be prepared for anything and everything. God bless you guys. Stay safe out there. We'll catch you next week on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.